I'm Jim Benson, and you're listening to TV Time Machine, heard exclusively on TVTimeMachine.com. Ladies and gentlemen, you're about to embark on a journey to a simpler time. An era before VCRs, digital cable, DVD players, and satellite receivers. A period of history whose innocence and simplicity was reflected in the shows we watched and the characters we all enjoyed. I'm Jim Benson. Join me, if you will, on a nostalgia-filled trip as we climb aboard the TV Time Machine. Our destination subject today will be the art of Rod Serling's Night Gallery. The artist of all the Night Gallery paintings, Tom Wright, will join me to help navigate this particular excursion into the annals of classic television. We'll begin our exciting and fun-filled odyssey right after these brief messages. Today on the TV Time Machine, we are proud to be joined by the man responsible for creating over 100 paintings for Rod Serling's Night Gallery, Tom Wright. Often described as being the soul of the show, Mr. Wright's remarkable creations have left an indelible imprint on classic television history. For decades, viewers and fans alike have been fascinated by these canvases that not only reflect the bizarre and horrific stories presented on Night Gallery, but also stand on their own as true works of art. Over the next few segments, Tom Wright will help us explore every aspect of his extraordinary work on Night Gallery, and also discuss his contribution to Universal Home Entertainment's DVD release of Rod Serling's Night Gallery Season 2. Again, for those of you intrepid enough to attend this very special showing, feel free to cleanse your palate as we slip from the restraints of the present and into a past that is suitable for framing.
A collection of paintings on display for only the most discriminating.
A dead man splattered on a concrete walk.
The story behind this offering.
We branch out a bit this evening and move a few feet away from the usual.
This may be your bag.
In other words, a fear of spiders.
Note girl and note expression.
Look at it, if you will, with gentle and restrained eyes.
But our first painting offers up a tale with the final curtain not quite the final curtain.
A small item for the pedagogues amongst you.
An art house full of bogeys, elves, pixies, bad fairies.
If you're interested remotely in homey homicides.
Now, this painting here had best be viewed in a dark room.
Painting number one, having to do with fishermen and what they fish for.
Because that's the story it tells.
We offer you now a little item called cool air.
We call it a feast of blood.
We call it the late Mr. Peddington.
Hold out your glasses and get ready for a very special nightcap.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Night Gallery.
Tom, thank you for coming on board the TV Time Machine.
Glad to be here. Glad to be here.
Tom, where did you grow up? And was art and painting a big part of your life at that time?
Well, I grew up in a small town in Kentucky called Stamford, Kentucky. And art was big in my life. My mother tells me as early as I could pick up a pencil, I was drawing. And so as I grew up, I was always interested in art and did start out as making it a career.
So you just had that natural talent. I assume you were a lot better than me. I was doing stick figures. I never really graduated beyond that. You just had a natural talent? You just felt really comfortable with that?
Yes, just a natural talent, and my parents supported me totally in it. And as I grew up in high school, I would go actually on weekends on a Saturday, like the University of Kentucky in Lexington, and take art classes because my school didn't have art classes. So, yeah, it started that way, and then I got out of high school and immediately came to California and enrolled in Chouinard Art Institute at that time, mm-hmm. and UCLA. So,
were there certain artists that inspired you at that time and over the years?
Oh, yeah. Degas is one of my all-time favorites. Lautrec. A lot of them. There's a lot of them. But Degas and Lautrec, two of my favorites.
Now, growing up, were you a fan of Rod Serling's work? Did you ever watch The Twilight Zone or any of Rod's shows?
Oh, yes. Avid fan, yes. Mm-hmm. And it was a great privilege to get to meet Rod once I started doing Night Gallery. And when he would come into town, we would always have lunch and talk about the paintings and other things. And it was really an interesting time.
What events led you ultimately to enter the world of entertainment?
Well, I had gotten out of the military and I'd met a couple of people. I was back in LA at the time. And a friend of mine was a producer and writer and had a show on the air and called me and said, "Do you want to act in this, Tom? I want you to do this part." And I said, "Well, I don't do that." And he said, no, come on. You'll have a good time." So I did, and then I started doing some little acting parts.
Really? So you acted? And,
yeah. Huh. Initially, I did. Mm-hmm. And
were you good?
No. I don't think so, no. But actually, I was, got a few. These are, I'm talking small parts, you know.
Right.
But did a few of them, and then went from there and was really interested in the business, so I started looking around to find other things that I might be able to do other than act like I was an actor. And then it kind of gravitated toward the art end, of course, and got a job in the art end of the business and started there. Art direction and illustrating and painting and, whatever they needed. So,
was there a particular job or circumstance that ultimately got you recognized as an artist in Hollywood?
Yeah, it started out in the art department, actually, as an illustrator. And kind of went from there to I would do shows and the directors would use me. I do a lot of storyboards, so they used me for designing sequences for them. And I sort of became fairly well known in that end of it as the years went on. And then I was also interested in directing, so I got some second unit directing jobs, which were, action jobs for, Howard the Duck and Rocky and Terms of Endearment, Apocalypse Now. So those got a few movies. Did three pictures with Hitchcock, who really gave me a big boost in his last three movies. And Hitchcock and Robert Wise actually sponsored me into the Directors Guild. So
I see.
Well, it's been a long variety and a long history, and really done a lot of different things in the business. It's been very good to me.
You also worked on Diamonds Are Forever, I think, just before Night Gallery.
Yeah, that's correct. I worked on Diamonds Are Forever as an illustrator with Ken Adam, who was the production designer, and developed a lot of sequences in the movie, a lot of the action sequences and stuff for the director. So
how did you come to meet Night Gallery producer Jack Laird, and how did he approach you with the offer to be the artist for Night Gallery?
Well, when I was at Universal, I met Jack. I got a call to go up to see Jack, I believe. This is a long time ago, Jim.
I know.
To go up to see Jack. He wanted something for something he was doing. So I went up to meet him. We kind of hit it off together. He liked my artwork, and so I started doing. He was trying to develop a new pilot and a new series, rather, and kind of like a space age wagon train. So we talked quite a while about it, and then he sent me off to come up with a bunch of ideas, visual ideas, and, the look of what it might look like, and etc. Which I did quite a few drawings and paintings for him, And this was over a little period of time. And he liked them a lot, but never did get the show off the ground. So that's how I actually met him to begin with. And then we'd run into each other on the lot once in a while, or he'd call me to come up and ask me to do something for him. So, you know, maybe a sketch or a painting, or he'd have an idea, or he was doing a show and he'd need a sketch for it. So I would do it. And that's how it sort of happened. And then one day I get a call from him, come on over, I want to talk to you, Tom. And I went in and sat down, and he said, okay, I'm doing this series, and it's called Night Gallery for Rod Serling, and every episode will be introduced with a painting. Are you interested? And I said, oh, yeah, of course. It sounded great. And it was a little on, of course, the bizarre side and the occult knowledge, which I was a big fan of and student of anyway. So that was it. He said, okay, you got the job, and here's the first 5 stories. Go read them. So that's kind of how it started.
So you probably had absolutely no idea what you were getting into in terms
not
of...
Not a clue. And I can't believe to this day, I don't know how long it's been, but don't tell me, Jim.
Yeah.
But that it's still popular. It's incredible. And I work with people that had seen the series, and when they find out I'd done the paintings, they go, oh, they're really kind of blown away. And they go, yeah, those are really interesting. That's why we watched the show. So it's been a long run on those things.
Yeah, the amazing thing about your paintings, I don't mean this in a pejorative sense, but a lot of people actually are more interested and find the paintings more fascinating than some of the episodes themselves.
Yeah, that's what I hear.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I remember when I was doing the show, I would get letters and inquiries from people who, like somebody in Illinois, let's say, who had just bought a bar for themselves, you know, and they wanted me to come back and do paintings for the walls in the bar, and or do paintings, you know, for their home, or paintings for, I mean, it was wild how popular they were. So.
Were you concerned at the time with keeping up with the workload, and what type of system did you come up with to hit the deadlines?
Well, one fun thing about it was I wanted to try to do each painting where it didn't look like the same artist had done, you know, every painting. So that was a fun part of it, to try to change the style on every painting and you know, just have fun with it. One of the ways I came up to help it achieve the speed was I would use Masonite instead of canvas or anything as my board, and I would use a lot of the times acrylic paint and mix it with other paints because it was fast, it would dry fast, I could go over it quickly, and I would get, let's say, 5 stories to do or scripts or whatever they had done at the time. They would send them to me. I would do them. Or I would do rough ideas for them, little thumbnails, sometimes they're called, and take them down to Jack and say, okay, here, Jack, this is for this, this is for this, this is for this. Lay them all out for him, and I'd say, I like this one myself, and this is a... And he'd go, okay, see ya. Literally, okay, see ya. Those are great. And I'd go off and do them whatever size I wanted, any way I wanted, and also designed the way they were framed and the colors, because they were all framed the same way with the same molding. And the only thing I would change would be the color. And I designed them so they had that little black spacer in the frame. So you'd have a frame next to the painting, the black spacer, and then the rest of the frame on the outside, because they were put on a set that was in sort of in black limbo. Well, you know, they were sort of suspended in space.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it. It was a great job. It was a great job. I'd read it. I'd come up with a couple of ideas and show them to Jack and say, I like this one. He never once said, well, I like that one better. Whatever I said I liked, he said, go. So it was great, and I'd take off, and then maybe I would do five paintings quickly within a time frame because I had to, you know, deliver them. And the studio would, I'd call them, I think it was the prop department, and I would call the prop department to come up, pick up the paintings. They'd take them down, I'd give them the color for the paintings. They'd make the frames and frame them, and we'd go from there. So we became an operation, literally an operation.
Like an assembly line.
Almost like an assembly line.
Yeah.
And then I was also doing shows at the time, too, you know, other shows at the time. The paintings were kind of an extra thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I had sort of like an outside contract with Universal to do the paintings. So it was my regular job and then doing the paintings. But it was fun. It was okay.
So you had a tremendous amount of creative freedom. And as you said, that's primarily due, well, it is due to Jack Laird.
Yeah, total freedom. Total freedom. He'd say, either send me a short story or the script if they had it. I'd read it, come up with some ideas. Then when I'd have, you know, 5 or 10 or whatever it was, I'd go down to his office and lay them out for him and say, here, this is for this, Jack, and I like this one or this one. He'd go, great, love them, see ya. And I'd go off and paint. So,
did anyone ever, the network or at Universal or anybody associated with the show, ever object to a particular painting that you did or an idea that you had for a painting?
Not that I ever heard of. Not at all. It was mainly Jack. I would do the paintings. Then I would take photographs of the paintings, send them to Rod, and then Rod would kind of, between the story and the paintings, come up with the introduction. Then Rod would come to town to do the introductions for the show.
Right.
And then we would have lunch and kind of talk about some of the paintings, and he liked them a lot. Mm-hmm. And so that was a great experience. I was always looking forward to him to come down. We would have lunch, talk, and then while he was shooting his stuff, I'd go down to the stage. It was a lot of fun.
How nice of you all to come to our little exhibition. To the connoisseurs amongst you, those tasteful few who take their art seriously, we acknowledge with no apologies that you won't find the works of the masters here. Because in this particular salon, we choose our painting with an eye more towards terror than technique.
Nobody ever said anything against the paintings or about the paintings other than they liked them.
So even the censors never had a problem with any of your paintings?
I never heard a word if they did.
Wow.
And all the paintings I did were on all the shows that were done, or the shows that actually were produced. There were some paintings done for shows that were never produced because the series sort of stopped suddenly, you know.
Right.
And but never a word. Never a word.
So it sounds like it was a pretty effortless exercise for you to a certain degree. Was there anything hard about the job, about creating light gallery paintings?
Well, yeah, sometimes, you know, just coming up with an idea that may be a little different, you know. Some of the shows or scripts, of course, the names of the show were a great boost to get the idea for the painting because, you know, they were sort of what they were, you know. Like, for instance, spiders. Well, that's sort of almost dictates what you want to come up with, you know. So now how do you present that painting visually for the story that makes it interesting and gets people, you know, really gets their attention and hopefully sort of freaks them out a little bit. Then, you know, skulls were big in the paintings, of course, and, you know, death and dark colors and shadows, yeah. So, but it was a great job. I just go off and start painting. So
basically, you would get different stories and different assignments at a different phase of the creative process. In other words, would you get, for instance, on certain episodes a full script, and then others maybe you just had a rough outline? Is that in?
Yeah, well, a lot of times because they didn't have the scripts yet, but they had short story. If it was going to be a short from a short story.
Right.
They usually had the short story, so I would get the story, and I'd read the story because they didn't have the script yet. And then sometimes I would get the script because they had them done, And then sometimes I would just get like an outline from Jack, and he'd say, here's what the story's about, and da da da, and I'd go from that.
Well, good thing they were based on short stories, because it didn't take you a lot of time to read them.
Yeah, exactly. But it was great. It was a great period, really.
Now, you said that you wanted to make it appear as though each canvas were painted by a different artist. Was that difficult to do?
That was a little difficult to do because, you know, your instincts start taking over mm-hmm. and you start drifting back into what you know, and can deal with much easier. But it was interesting researching artists and saying, yeah, I like him, and I kind of like that style, so I'm going to lean that way on this painting. And sometimes the paintings would dictate for me certain styles, like from certain illustrators or painters, and I would almost know sort of immediately what style I wanted to do this particular painting in. So that was a fun part of it also, is researching a lot of artists and picking styles that I sort of like, and said, yeah, I can do that pretty easily and just adapt it.
Did you also research other aspects of the elements of the show? Like, did you research the occult, that sort of thing?
Oh, heavily. Mm-hmm. Much of that. Read a lot, and being interested in it, so it was a plus, you know, it was a plus. And then a lot of research, a lot of paintings on the occult, and I learned quite a bit about it over the years.
We're going to have to take a little break from our fascinating journey, but never fear. I'll be back in a lightning flash with Night Gallery artist Tom Wright, who is traveling with us on the TV Time Machine.